You guys know we've been going through the Bible, and starting in Genesis, and the two most important things we need to know about Genesis is, number one, or about the Bible, number one, the people in it. What do we know about the people in it?
They're broken.
Broken, messed up people. I mean, if I were going to make up a religion and write a book about people that belong to God, I mean, and what about you? Wouldn't I make them, like, perfect? You know, like superheroes or something? But no, these people are royally messed up. Which makes me feel better, because if he can use them, he can use me. He can use you. And the other thing, the story over and over again in the Bible, I'm going to keep asking until everybody gets it. What is the story that runs over and over again all the way through the Bible?
Where people fall away from God and start doing things their own way and come back to the Lord when they're hopelessly in need of him.
Mm-hmm. And what does he do? Welcomes them back. So God loves us and calls us as a people. And then what happens is we're like, oh, we love you, God, but see you later. I'll got this and I'll do my own thing from here on out. And then that leads into sin. And sin always leads into some kind of slavery. Whether we get enslaved into drugs or alcohol or in bad relationships or in just bad situations, and we go into a bad place. And then we cry out to God. And then he saves us. And we're like, oh, we love you, God. And I got it from here. And that's the cycle over and over again throughout the Bible. Where God loves the people, they continually turn away from him, fall into sin, fall away from him. They cry out to him, but he always takes them back. And that's a good, a mighty, and a gracious God. Well, we're up to Genesis, and we're up to the fun part. Yay, we get to talk about Sodom and Gomorrah and Lot. And some really icky stuff that they do. So, Ronnie said, you got a real powerful word? I said, this is just some of the stuff you don't want to teach in the Bible, but we're going to teach it anyways. All right, so anyways, in chapter 17, God came to Abram and he made a covenant with him. And he said, you're it. You and Sarah are going to be the mother and father of all of Israel. Okay, there are going to be many nations that come out of you. And so this follows up right after it. Okay, let's go ahead and read through it. Now, the Lord appeared to him by the oaks of Mamre while he was sitting. Abraham was sitting at the tent door in the heat of the day. When he lifted up his eyes and looked, behold, three men were standing opposite him. This is important. Three men. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed down bowed himself to the earth. He said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in your sight, please do not pass your servant by. Please let a little water be brought and wash your feet. Rest yourselves under the tree, and I will bring a piece of bread that you may refresh yourselves. After that, you may go on since you have visited your servant. Now, in the Middle East, customs of hospitality are taken very, very seriously. If someone comes to you and you do not take care of them, okay, if you do not provide them food, why did he ask to wash their feet? They wear sandals, okay? They get dirty. So this was something he took very seriously. Abraham was a very righteous man. He wanted to get it right. He didn't get it right a lot of the time, but he wanted to get it right, and he strived to. So he's trying to do the right thing here. So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, quickly, prepare three measures of fine flour, knead it, make bread cakes. Abraham ran to the herd, took a tender and a choice calf, and gave it to the servant. He hurried to prepare it. He took curds and milk and the calf which he had prepared, placed it before them, and he was standing by them under the tree as they ate. All right. Now, at this point, he doesn't know who these men are. We're going to find out. It is God himself come down in human form. What's another name of God himself coming down in human form? Well, that is God the Father who came to earth. Thank you. I knew you'd catch up. You're still like me today. All right. They said, where is Sarah, your wife? Total strangers show up and ask for his wife by name. There in the tent, he said, I will surely return to you at this time next year. And behold, Sarah, your wife, will have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abram and Sarah were old, advanced in age. Sarah was past childbearing. Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I have become old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? And the Lord said to Abraham, Why did Sarah laugh, saying, "Shall I indeed bear a child when I am so old? Is anything too difficult for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you at this time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Sarah denied it, however, saying, "I did not laugh," for she was afraid, and she said, "No." And he said, "No, but you did laugh." Anybody remember what happened in the last chapter when God told Abram that he was going to have a son? What did Abram do? Laughed. This family, no wonder they named him Isaac, which means he laughs. Isaac means laughter. Because both Abraham and Sarah, they did not really believe God. But once Abram, in the last chapter, committed himself to God by doing something rather severe to prove his covenant with God, what did he do last chapter?
Circumcised himself.
Circumcised himself. Ouch. And every male in his company, in his family, all the servants, everyone had to be circumcised. That's taking it seriously. So now we come, and now he's all in. So now comes Sarah's turn. Sarah is laughing. Sarah's turn to laugh. Is she all in? Does she really believe God can do anything? Obviously not. Obviously not. And then, even worse, here comes a prophecy. God comes to her and says, "This is what I'm going to do for you." She laughs and he says, "Why did you laugh?" And she lies. Let's just call it what it is. Lies in the face of God and said, "No, I didn't do that." Now you want to go, what kind of person lies in the face of God? Me? I mean, seriously. He sees and hears everything. He is with us at all times, and yet we think we're getting away with things.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
And so we need to come clean about some of the things we're lying to God about. Some of us call it denial. So sometimes we're lying to ourselves about it. But sometimes we just don't want to see ourselves the way that we are, the problems that we have, because it hurts too much. We all want to think of ourselves as being okay and good enough. And when we see the cracks in our armor, when we see the things that are wrong in our life, we tend to look away and a lot of times look at somebody else and instead pick out their faults and flaws. Did you have something you wanted to say?
I was just going
to
add a good analogy would be, because I tell my children this all the time, and even close friends of mine, if I'm asking the question, you can darn it guarantee 90% of the time I already know the answer.
Oh! So
please, don't insult my intelligence. Just tell me the truth.
That's very good. Like God, when he walked with Adam and Eve in the garden, and they were hiding from him because they'd eaten from the tree of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. And he says, "Where are you? Do you think God didn't know where they were?" But why did he do that? Because he wanted them to admit to themselves and to him. And there are things in your life. God is saying, "I want you to get a grip. I want you to pay attention to this. I want you to say out loud and acknowledge you have done this or you are doing this." Because nothing happens until you acknowledge the truth. It says, "Do not lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him." And what? "He will make straight your paths." So it is acknowledging, "God, you're right and I'm wrong." But that doesn't happen until we first admit what's going on in our lives. So let's go ahead and scroll down here. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Then the men rose up from there, looked down towards Sodom, and Abram was walking with them to send them off. Then the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do, since Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation? And in him all the nations of the earth will be blessed. For I have chosen him so that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice." Now, what did he do? What is it that he has raised up Abraham to do? What does it say there? Right there. "I have chosen him." To do what? To keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice. It is not enough for you to live for him. Your responsibility is also to teach your children and those that you are responsible for about the Lord to live righteously and justly.
Amen.
You can't always, you can't push people, you can't make anyone else understand about God. If they don't see God, if they're not born again, they're not going to understand anything about it anyways. But there are certain people God will speak to you and say, I want you to tell so-and-so this. I want you to confront somebody about what's going on in their life. You got to be careful because you can't judge them. Only God can. But there may be times where He's going to hold you accountable for at least making someone else acknowledge what's going on in their life. But you got to be real careful because it's real easy to become a busybody and get involved in other people's lives when it's none ya. Right? So only do it if it's God. But you are responsible for teaching your children and the people under your care how to know God, how to obey God, to live righteously and justice and justly. All right. And the Lord said to Abraham, the outcry of Sodom and Gomorrah is indeed great, and their sin is exceedingly grave. I will go down now and see if they have done entirely according to its outcry, which has come to me, and if not, I will know. Then the men turned away from there. Now, what it means is two of the men turned away. We'll find out in chapter 19. It says the two angels walked into Sodom and Gomorrah. So it is God in human form, Jesus, and two angels. So where are we? Went toward Sodom, and Abram was still standing before the Lord. And now I'm just going to paraphrase this as we go down. And he says, Lord, he says, are you just going to wipe away an entire town? What if there's 60 people who are righteous there? Will you destroy an entire town for 60 people? And God says, no, I won't do that if there are 60 people. And then he says 50 people or 45 people or 40 or 30 or 20. And Abraham gets him down to 10. And he says, if there are 10 righteous people in there, will you please spare that town? Why would Abram care? What do you think? Why do you think Abraham would care?
Lot
lived there.
Lot lived there.
Lot lived in the city, as we're about to find out. Now, how did Lot get there? Anybody remember?
He chose the land.
Ah, very good. Abram and Lot were side by side. All of their sheep and cattle, all of their servants, everybody was together. And the servants and the shepherds kept getting into it over the land because there wasn't enough land to feed all of the cattle or all the livestock. So Abram said, okay, I'm going to let you pick. You can, all this land in front of us, you pick which land you want, and you have it. Well, he picked the best land, the fertile land. Lot was always out for himself.
The bottom land,
the bottom feeder land. He went down there where it was most fertile. All right? It never crossed his mind, of course, to give Abram the best. This is just the type of person that Lot is. He's not selfless. He's really after himself. And taking care of himself, as we will find out, is his number one business. Which is another reason why he went to Sodom and Gomorrah. It was a city that had a lot of stuff, a lot of material things, but also had a really messed up population. So, I will not destroy it on account of the ten. As soon as he had finished speaking to Abram, the Lord departed, and Abram returned to his place. So Abram went home, left it to God. Message for you here. There are some things you just have to let go of and let God deal with. You want to help. You want to save somebody. You want to do good. But there are some things that are none ya. You want to, but it's not your business unless God speaks to you directly and tells you that person is your business. There are people, of course, as pastors, we know what's going on in people's lives. We could trace them down. We could track them down and say, I need you to face up that you're doing this. But unless God tells me to, I'm not going there. Because you know what? God is going to deal with each individual as He sees fit. And He will bring someone to them if He wants to. But if God has already revealed to you what is going on in your life that He wants changed, and you've blown Him off, don't expect Him to keep sending other people. At some point, God always says, my will be done. And when we say, no, my will be done, He says, fine, thy will be done. But I'm taking my hands off of you. You can't get my blessing if you also don't want, if you don't want my will. You can have your own way and you can have your own will, but you can't have my way and my will at the same time. not until your will becomes my will. Make sense?
Amen.
All right. Now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening as Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he met them and bowed down with his face to the ground, and he said, "Now behold, my lords, please turn aside into your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet, that you may rise early and go on your way." Sounds like he's trying to get them into the house and get rid of them as soon as possible. And we shall spend the night in the square. Why do you think they wanted to spend the night in the square?
See what was going on.
See what was going on. But Lot did not want them to see what was going on. Okay, well, whether or not they were angels, I don't think he knew that they were angels yet. But that tells that he knew what was going on in the square. Right? He knew what was going on in the city around him, and he did not care. Not care enough to leave. Not care enough to be away from what was ungodly and unrighteous. This is important. We're going somewhere. So then he strongly urged them, and so he prepared a feast for them and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. But before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, surrounded the house, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. Now we're talking about every. It doesn't say most. It says every man. This is the level of sickness that is in this place. And they surround the door. And they say, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may have relations with them." In other words, we want to rape them. That's what that says. You think the men are going to come out and willingly do that? So whenever strangers would come into town, they would rape them. Kind of a sick city.
That's right.
Now, do you think these are the first strangers to come into Sodom? Do you think Lot knew what they did to strangers? You see why he was trying to get them into his house so quickly? So Lot comes out and he says, "No, I'm not going to let you do that to these strangers." He didn't want to be responsible for these strangers. He didn't want to be responsible for what was going to happen to them. Obviously, they're going to save Lot. So Lot was a righteous man, but only by the skin of his teeth. He believed in God, and he tried to act righteously himself, but he entrenched himself. He embedded himself and fellowshipped with and had his family fellowship with people who were foul, people who were ungodly, people who did not serve God and who would turn you to do what they want you to do if they could. You have something to say?
It kind of reminds me of this one day I broke one of my mom's favorite vases. I was 12 years old at the time. I broke her favorite vase, and I was just okay, the only way I'm going to clear this is if I meet her first before she sees what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember I waited in the driveway, and when she got in, I immediately got in the car and had her mail for her. She was what did you do? And I was just nothing, we're just talking. And then she was just well, what did you do? Obviously you did something. Something's going on that you're trying to hide from me. I don't really think about it until you're reading this a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And so you try and cut off the circumstances before they happen. But this is so important, guys. Lot is considered saved, let's say. Now it says Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness.
Right.
We found that several chapters ago, which meant that God said, God revealed himself to him. And Abram said, "You are my God. You are the Most High God. You are my God. I will follow you. I will serve you." And as Ronnie says over and over again, there are a lot of people that want a Savior. Very few people want a Lord because they want to do their own thing. Well, right here shows that Lot believed in God. But Lot just had a little problem with taking God as Lord. And we're going to see that for his whole family. His attitude affects his entire family. His decisions affect his entire family. So he says, no, don't do that. He says, and they say, stand aside. This one came in as an alien, and already he is acting like a judge. Now we will treat you worse than them. So they were going to turn on him and rape him. But he had said, don't touch these men. I have two virgin daughters. You can have them. Now, you really, makes you think, doesn't it? Things that make you go, Lot was righteous only relatively. And though his soul was daily vexed by what he saw, it was not vexed enough to make him quit such evil surroundings and return to the healthy and virtuous life of the mountains. Now, this was one of those things of the lesser of the evils. Do I let these men come in and take these men and rape them? Or do I give them my daughters? But still, would he have even had to make that decision if he was in Sodom and Gomorrah? There are some really hard decisions you have to make in your life. And some of them are because you're with the wrong people doing the wrong things. If you're not even there, you don't even have those problems, do you?
That's right.
If you struggle with drugs, then you don't hang around with people who are doing them. The same thing with alcohol. The same thing with anything in your area. If you have problem with sexual addiction, then you stay away from the other sex. You stay off the internet. You stay away from things that you shouldn't do, that are going to feed that. But it is up to you to make the decision to do it. Well, in the end, the angels reach out when they're about to go grab Lot and break the door in, reach out, open the door, grab Lot in, bring him in, and then they strike all of those men blind so they can't find the door. Everyone in the town, blind. So they can't find the door. Up, please. All right, thank you. Then the two men said to Lot, whom else have you have here? A son-in-law and your sons and your daughters and whoever you have in the city. Bring them out of the place, for we are about to destroy this place because their outcry has become so great before the Lord that the Lord has sent us to destroy it. Lot went out and spoke to his son-in-laws. Son-in-laws, meaning they were betrothed, they were supposed to marry, who were to marry his daughters, and said, up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. He believed them. That's the righteous part. He believed the angels, and he knew what God was going to do, and he was going to go. But what do his son-in-laws do? They laugh. They think he's joking. Have you ever talked about God, and other people look at you with this glazed or really weird look? And you talk, and that's because you have to be born again in order to either see the kingdom of God, to understand anything about it. You will be this foreign alien to anyone that you talk to about God, especially if you're serious and like actually read the Bible and talk about it or act on it. Oh my gosh, you know, you are from an entirely different planet. But you can't expect them to understand you. You can't expect them to act like you either. Sometimes you look at people and go, what in the world are they doing? Guess what? They have no choice but to do what they're doing. Because that's all they've ever known. They don't have God inside of them to change how they think and change how they act. So, when morning dawned, the angels urged Lot, saying, up, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or you will be swept away in the punishment of the city. What are the next three words it says? Verse 16.
But he hesitated.
You see, he was righteous relatively. He trusted God, but only so far. Because there were other things he wanted in his life other than God. needs he thought could only be met by the way he wanted them to meet them. He was in Sodom and Gomorrah for a reason. He had wealth. He had stuff.
There you go. Come on.
And for all we know, there might be a side of him that enjoyed the perversity of the city. He might not have partaked with it, but he could have been one of those people that was still interested in it. So what we have here is he hesitated because he still wanted to stay. So the men seized his hand and the hand of his wife and the hands of his two daughters, for the compassion of the Lord was upon him, and they brought him out and put him outside the city. Sometimes God will do something absolutely miraculous in your life. And he will drag you out of a bad situation. Might mean him putting you in jail. In order to get you out of a situation where if you stayed in it, you're going to kill yourself from the drugs. Or from the people you hang around with and getting in fights. Somebody taking you out. Sometimes God will drag you out. But next, when they had brought them outside, one said, "Escape for your life. Do not look behind you. Do not stay anywhere in the valley. Escape to the mountains or you will be swept away." So if they got them out, put them outside the city, but then whose responsibility was it to do what God said? Theirs.
That's right.
You will always have a responsibility to do what God says to you.
Amen.
To do what he says to do. He will not do it all. He will do for you what you cannot do for yourself.
Amen.
But he expects you to do what you should do for yourself. Okay? You are responsible for what he says to you. But Lot said to them, "Oh no, my lords. Now behold, your servant has found favor in your sight, and you've magnified your loving kindness, which you have shown me by saving my life, but I cannot escape to the mountains, for the disaster will overtake me and I will die. Now behold, this town is near enough to flee to, and it is small. Please, let me escape there. Is it not small, that my life might be saved?" Once again, his righteousness is relative. They told him exactly where to go and what to do, but he still wanted to do it his way. His way. And then, as we'll find out, the angels requested and said, "Fine, you can do that. You want to go to that town, that's okay. But I believe it's just like I said, God says, my will be done. You say, no, my will be done." And sometimes he says, "Fine. Thy will be done. Fine. You want to go there? Then go there." And we'll see what happens. "Behold, I grant you this. Hurry, escape there, for I cannot do anything until you arrive. Now," scroll down, 23. "Next comes," this is very interesting, "brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he totally wiped out, burnt everything to the ground. 26, but Lot's wife from behind him looked back and she became a pillar of salt." I looked that up. This is very interesting. Where is it? Lot still won't completely return to Abraham's place. He still wants to be near the place of sin. Lot's wife turned back because she wanted to keep her life the way it was instead of returning to serve God. How many people do you know? Or have you been that way, that you don't want to turn to God because you kind of like your life the way it is? Right? Well, that's exactly how she was. The things in this world and the pleasures of this world, and we've talked about before the pleasure trap. Our bodies are geared toward pleasure. That's how God made us. Our bodies want pleasure. And we are geared to get pleasure the easiest way possible. For those of you who want to hear about exactly that, there's a TED Talk called The Pleasure Trap, and also I've got a sermon online at ministryhouse.org, put in pleasure trap, and it will catch you up on this. But it is scientific fact that we are wired for pleasure. But in a world where everything is given to us already, and in an electronic world, in a fast food world, everything like that, we don't have to work for it. It's just there.
Yeah.
So we were made to actually work and walk and do physical labor and do things to be able to get for ourselves. And the pleasure is what made us do it. The hope of the pleasure of food, or the for procreation, the pleasure of sex. But what happened when we stopped doing that and everything was given to us? And then drugs and alcohol were created? So what happened? We just bypassed the work and just used the stuff that makes us feel good. That's why we have so many addicts. That's why we have sexaholics, workaholics, Netflixaholics, everything. Because pleasure is right there for us to have whenever we want. Which is probably another reason why all of our laundry is still sitting on our couch and not put away. Because there's always something else more pleasurable to do. Yes. Just being honest and confessing, Lord. I am going to put it away today. All right. Oh, so anyways, let me finish this after my confession. All right. We are not to suppose that she was actually turned into a pillar of salt, but having been killed by the fiery and sulfurous vapor with which the air was filled and afterward encrusted with salt, she resembled an actual statue of salt, just as even now from the saline exhalation of the Dead Sea, objects near it are quickly covered with a crust of salt. So she wasn't physically turned to salt. She was killed by the sulfur in the air and encrusted over so quickly with salt before she could hit the ground. That's what happened to her, scientifically. Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
All right, so God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, but he remembered Abram and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow. Now, this is where it gets really nasty. Scroll down. Lot went... How many of you know what's about to happen? Raise your hand. Yeah, I'm sorry about this. Lot went up from Zoar. So he was in Zoar. He went in the city, but then he left it and went to the mountains. Why? Why did he then go to the mountains? They're not sure. They think even maybe Zoar could have been not quite as bad, but like Sodom. But or it could be that where did the angels tell him to go to in the first place? So he finally went to the mountains. Right? They didn't tell him to go to Zoar. There's a good chance that the neighboring city was just as bad as Sodom and Gomorrah, but maybe not as bad because it wasn't destroyed. So he goes into the caves and he stays with his daughters. Bottom line is, his daughters say, well, the guys we were supposed to marry aren't here now. Our mother's dead. We're not in the city. We're living in a cave. I want to make sure I have a kid. Let's get our father drunk and have sex with him so we can get impregnated. This is in the Bible. If you were going to write a Bible, would you write this kind of stuff? Why put it in here? Why put it in here? If God is not trying to make a point. All right? When we are isolated from everyone else, when we are out of God's will, we will do anything to meet what we think are our needs in any way. People become absolutely foul in their mind. And they will do anything. That's why you have pornography and child pornography and molestation and all of these things that happen. Because people want to satisfy themselves in whatever way possible, and outside of God, that can degrade to absolute debased, immoral actions. And what have they done? They've separated themselves. Why did he not leave Zoar and go back to Abraham? Why didn't he go back to his completely righteous, very wealthy uncle? Why did he go to a cave? He would rather live in a cave than go back and serve God. And his daughters could have left. His daughters could have left, but no. They did not want to go back to Abram, neither. What does that say to you? There are times in our life when we will just not want to go to God, and it will lead us to do the stupidest things. things that will affect us for generations. I know this has been a really graphic sermon, all right, the way the cards fell, but this is what happened. Although upon the whole Lot was a righteous man and possessed of many amiable qualities, evidently it appears that his principles, as well as those of his daughters, had suffered some degree of contamination by the society of evildoers. Otherwise, surely he would have withstood every temptation to excess drinking. Here the history of Lot ends. We never hear of him again. This is what I believe God is saying to us. If we are hanging around with people, I don't mean just working with them because you have to. I'm talking about fellowshipping with them, choosing to become intimate friends with them, spending time with people who do not believe God, who definitely want to do their own way, people who want you to do as they do. They would love for you to drink with them, to do the drugs with them, whatever. Those people, the more you spend time with them, the more desensitized you will become to God. You will have a conscience that will become seared. Anybody know what that means? Have you ever had a burn on your flesh? Do you know that it kills? Right there, it kills all the nerve endings.
Yes.
You can't feel that. Now, the outside, the skin around it, you can feel it, but not that. So your conscience can actually become seared. The more you hang around with and enter into and tolerate sin, your soul becomes desensitized to sin, and you will eventually just give into it.
That's right.
That is why we do not forsake the assembling together. That's what it says in Hebrews. We need to come together to encourage one another, to remember, to remind each other of what the Word says, to pray for each other, to be empowered by the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
But it also means to be meeting with God. The only way you can resist those kind of temptations is if you are meeting with God, fellowshipping with God. And that is something that we can only take you so far. Just like the angels grabbing Lot and his daughters out of there. At some point, he says, this is your job now to go up to the mountains. Mm-hmm. Well, it is your job now to decide who you should be hanging around with, what actions the other people around you are doing, which is a clear sign that you are not to be hanging around with them. And it's a really hard thing. You can have people that you love to death, but they are drunks and you have a problem with alcohol and you don't need to be around them. Period. It can be family. But at some point, your allegiance to God has to be greater than your allegiance to family. I hate to say that. Remember we said sometimes you just got to let people go and let God deal with them? You can't save them. You can love them. But you can also say, hey, listen, while I'm here, I can't have the alcohol out. I'd love to see you, or you can come on over, but you can't bring any alcohol, or don't have any drugs on you. You don't have to throw the baby out with the bathwater, but you do have to stand for God. You do have to make a decision who you will serve. As for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. You can be like Lot, who was like Abraham used to be, partially faithful, partially trustworthy, partially righteous, or you can go all in. Now, I want to note, from what I've said right here, in this room, I want to know, raise your hand, if there is anyone in your life that you know you should not be hanging around with, that you need God's help to pull you away from that place and those people. I want you to raise your hand. Is there anybody in your life that you should not be hanging around with? That God has spoken to you. That God has spoken to you, I don't want you around that person or those people. Hmm? Now, the thing is, when God speaks to us about things like this, we are like Lot in verse 16. Remember what those two words he said?
Three.
He hesitated. Why did he hesitate?
Because he didn't want to go.
He didn't want to give them up. He didn't want to give them up.
That's right.
So I want to pray this morning, and I'm going to have Ronnie pray for anybody who wants God to separate you or give you the strength to remain godly and pull away from the people who you should not have in your life. Or you can come up and pray for God to reveal it to you. But you're going to have to make a decision whom you are going to serve and whether you're all in or partially in. Because partially in means you're going to keep turning back away from God, away from His will, away from His safety, and back towards where you are out and out from underneath His umbrella of control. It's His way or it's your way. It's not both.